Good evening, everybody. Brian Newbert here from goldenblack.com, live in his car one last time, leaving the KFC Yum Center in Louisville, Kentucky, following Purdue's 80-75 overtime loss to Virginia in the Elite Eight of the NCAA tournament. This is your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast edition, brought to you by Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the Sixth Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. Obviously, you all watched the game. You know what happened. You know what all kind of went into this and how excruciating an ending this is for Purdue. It would be nice in our job sometimes if we could just kind of not do anything for 30 minutes and just kind of think about what we just watched, what just happened, kind of let it all sink in to be able to kind of contextualize it for everybody. That's not really our reality. People want content and they want it quickly, so we go right back to our laptops and we start tapping away. But I've had a little while here to kind of let this sink in to try to make sense of all this. And the thing that just keeps coming to mind is that it's unfortunate, not necessarily because Purdue lost, because somebody had to lose this game, unfortunately. Both teams were good enough to win. Both teams, you could say, quote unquote, deserve it because they both kind of do things the right way, and I don't think this was a game there were a lot of people rooting decidedly against one or the other because of any other reason than their own partisanship toward one of them. But it is unfortunate for Purdue because this has been a remarkable season for this Purdue team. This will always be a remarkable season for Purdue's team. It would have been extra remarkable had it been the team to kind of break through that glass ceiling and get to the Final Four. But that doesn't change anything about all the remarkable that just happened during this Purdue season. You all know kind of where this team came from, the fact that it was it had every reason coming into the season to take a marked step backward. It had every reason in December. It gave every reason for those of us outside the program to believe this team wasn't even going to the NCAA tournament, let alone about to be a second away from going to the Final Four. For Purdue to even be in this game tonight is simply remarkable. And if I keep using the word remarkable, it's because it's the best word I can think of to describe what we just saw here the last couple of months from this Purdue basketball team. And that's where it's kind of unfortunate, because a season like this shouldn't end with regret. And that's exactly what happens here. And what I mean by regret is I don't necessarily mean Purdue screwed this up, because Virginia made the plays, obviously, to win this game. Virginia was a little bit better there down the stretch in regulation and was a little bit better in overtime. Virginia made the plays, and they deserve credit for making those plays. But what I mean by regret for Purdue is simply to be this close and then come up just a little bit short. And that's something that, you know, fair or not, life isn't fair. But in this case, this is probably a game that's going to stick with a lot of these guys for a while. And it shouldn't be that way, because this should be a season that they should remember as fondly as possible, because, you know, Purdue might not have made history in getting to the Final Four, but they made history in some other different kinds of ways, because I think this was one of the most memorable seasons Purdue's probably ever had, and probably a season where the fans had more fun than they probably have ever had following this team. And, you know, for it to end the way it ended tonight with this sort of bitter pill, as you might call it, is just unfortunate. But that's life. You know, sports isn't necessarily always fair. If sports were fair, you know, and I say this reminding you once again, Virginia deserved this every bit as much as Purdue did. So nobody really got screwed by fate here. But Purdue played well enough to win this game against a great, elite college basketball team. And it did so because of Carson Edwards. I mean, obviously, what you saw here the last four games from him was, I'll keep using the same term, stuff of legend here. I mean, he averaged 35 points in four NCAA tournament games. He broke an NCAA tournament record for made three-pointers and needed only four games to do it. And the guy who had the record needed all six. That was Glenn Rice in Michigan. So just a remarkable performance from Carson Edwards, who transformed in the postseason because, you know, he's had games like this in his career. He's never had four of them in a row, and he had probably one or two of them this year in total, and he had four in a row in the NCAA tournament when Purdue needed him most. And you can't say enough about the timeliness of him finding the very best basketball of his career. Obviously, he's been a great college player. He's been a great college scorer. He's had great games at Purdue. He's left a hell of a legacy at Purdue if this, in fact, was the end of his career. But he was unbelievable down the stretch in the NCAA tournament. He wins this game for Purdue, pretty much. He won this game for Purdue. Obviously, Purdue didn't win the game, but it was that close to. And had they won this game, obviously Carson Edwards would have been the singular reason for it, because his play tonight, if you're one to equate sports with the concept of heroism, was heroic. His 42-point game was, you know, probably one of the all-time great NCAA tournament performances in the event's history. And his performance against Villanova all of two games ago was probably right there as well. Just a remarkable stretch of basketball from Purdue's All-American. And, you know, another situation where it's unfortunate that it kind of had to end this way. It didn't have to end this way, that it did end this way. You know, Purdue certainly had its chances to end this game. You know, you have to, for all Ryan Klein meant for this program this year, a guy who left a hell of a legacy, you know, he's going to live and die with that free throw probably for a while, especially when you frame it up against the fact that his freshman year too, there was one in the Little Rock game that would have sealed that game as well. That's just unfortunate. And I mean, that's just basketball. And what I'm saying here about nobody necessarily getting screwed by circumstance here is everything that happened that decided this game for Virginia was the simple ebb and flow of college basketball. And there were some crazy bounces. The crazy bounce on the offensive rebound of the missed free throw was obviously something, but you have to give Virginia a lot of credit too for making a hell of a play after that, making an improbable play. But as I said before in my my rap video for the website, you know, it's almost kind of fitting in an ironic sort of way that, you know, Purdue's season ended on improbability, because this season for Purdue was all about improbabilities because of all that went on that, you know, wasn't necessarily supposed to in terms of this team's experience level, this team's all it lost from last year, everything it won in spite of, everything that was working, theoretically working against it, that it so thoroughly disproved through the course of this season. I can't think of a higher compliment for them right now than to point out that, you know, everything you thought you knew about this team, all of which was based in perfectly reasonable thought, was disproven and kind of thrown back in everybody's face. And, you know, that's a huge credit to Purdue and whatnot. And I think this NCAA tournament run is huge for the program, regardless of the fact that it fell short of the Final Four. Obviously, you would have liked it because it could have done a lot more for the program as well. Plus, you know, in situations like this, you always think of those who came before you too. I know Robbie Hummel was living and dying with this game. I'm sure Gene Cady was. I'm sure Larry Clisby was. And you know, there are certain people out there you just want to experience this kind of thing. And Purdue came so close to so much in that sense. But I do think this is the simple fact that Purdue made a real name for itself this postseason. Not that Purdue is some upstart outfit here that needed to, but it really helped itself from a brand perspective. It really helped itself from a notoriety perspective. Carson Edwards really helped himself, I think, in the NCAA tournament for whatever comes next. And I think Purdue built a hell of a foundation kind of moving forward, because I think you saw some young players who played really well in the postseason who are going to make up your next really good teams. I think this season as a whole kind of set an expectation level that those guys theoretically should be passing along themselves, that, you know, this program expects to win no matter what, and that's a very healthy thing. But I think the future is probably pretty encouraging. You know, the elephant in the room, obviously, right now is Carson Edwards, and I don't know what he's going to do. He's not going to tell us until he's ready to tell us, obviously, and that's his right, obviously. But you have to sit here and think, what else can this guy do? And you know, this is business. You know, you have to go when the iron, you have to strike when the iron is hot. And when is the iron ever going to get more hot than after Carson Edwards on the biggest stage in college basketball, on the TV of everyone in the country, just about every basketball fan in the country, when your name recognition gets supersized when you play well. He averaged 35 points a game in four games and took a team with no other short-term NBA players to within an eyelash of the Final Four. He is never going to get hotter than he is right now from an NBA stock perspective, and you have to think that weighs heavily into his decision, if not makes it outright for him. What I'm saying here is that you probably have to brace yourself for life after Carson Edwards coming sooner rather than later. That might have been the case anyway. He might have, even if he played badly in the NCAA tournament, that might have been the case anyway. But what you do have returning, Ryan Klein and Grady Eifert are going to be really hard to replace as well. But I think what you saw in this team this year is you're seeing a guy who's really coming on in Matt Harms. Nojel Eastern is going to be a standout for Purdue, already is sort of a consummate winner already. I think you saw young players really take steps in the postseason. Aaron Wheeler played very well, did some really positive things. Travion Williams played really well, did some really positive things. Sasha Stefanovic is going to be a player Purdue can win with. It already can. Eric Hunter, I think his progress as a player, his development as a player was accelerated in the NCAA tournament. I thought he did some really positive things in this game against one of the best teams in college basketball. I think you have a foundation here where you have a good team growing in behind a team that was really good this year when it wasn't supposed to be. And I think that's a very encouraging thing for the future. I think, obviously, Purdue's in very good hands. This season has, I think, if this wasn't needed, but maybe it was for some people, this season legitimized Matt Painter as a really, really good, if not great, college basketball coach, somebody who Purdue is clearly in good hands with. I think he's probably going to get a National Coach of the Year award or two here in the next few weeks, and that's going to further kind of legitimize him. I don't think that was necessary, but I know there's a faction of the fan base that is very zero sum about things, and I would have to think or hope that this was enough to at least, you know, quiet some of that discord, if there was still some. Purdue's in really good hands. Obviously, the coaching staff is going to change with Greg Gary leaving. Greg Gary did a really good job with Purdue's offense this season. He's going to be missed, but this is an opportunity too for Purdue to get somebody else in here, maybe with some new ideas, with a young team that can be impressionable, can perhaps learn to do some different things. Purdue can change directions a little bit, fall back on still what's working. I don't know what that means. I just lost control of that thought. But Purdue is going to look very different next year, no question. But Purdue looked very different this year. And you would have said a year ago at this time, there's no way in hell that team is going to the Elite Eight. And you would probably look at Purdue's team next year right now on paper and say, there's no way in hell that team's going to the Elite Eight. Well, the team from last year, you just said, no way in hell that team's going to the Elite Eight, just did. And very easily could be in the Final Four. So I think this season, if nothing else, has taught people to not draw any conclusions too quickly. Because the conclusions coming out of last season and the conclusions as late as December would have been decidedly different than what reality turned out to be. So that's what made this season so interesting, so much, so compelling to cover and whatnot. And I guess I want to take this opportunity to thank everyone for reading, for watching our videos, for listening to these podcasts. It certainly makes the job easier, makes the job more enjoyable when you know there are people out there that are into what you're writing, what you're producing, who really care about the product, who really care about the subject matter. And I think that's pretty cool. And I just want to say thank you to everybody for your engagement with our products. Obviously, we couldn't do it without you because we wouldn't have any money. With that being said, that's all I got for the Elite Eight and the Purdue basketball season as a whole. This is Brian Newbert from GoldenBlack.com with your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast edition, brought to you by our friends at Purdue Federal Credit Union, Follett's Purdue Bookstores, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. So we will talk to you again next season, probably. I'm sure we'll probably do some of these here and there throughout the off season, but if not, I'll play it safe and just say we'll talk to you again next season. Thank you again, everybody. Your participation here is very much appreciated. Take care.